Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
You know, in reflecting back on my life, there have been quite a number of people who have been anchors for me in my Christian faith. Men and women who really took the time to invest in my life so that I could be thoroughly equipped both to know Jesus, but also to carry the light of his gospel into the world. And one of those people was one of my seminary professors, Dr. Matt Friedman. Few people have helped shape my thinking about ministry more than he did. He was not only my professor, but also the leader of a discipleship group that I was blessed to be a part of for a number of years. And it was a discipleship group that was very different from your typical one nowadays, with everyone kind of sitting around and talking about the Bible. No, not with Matt Friedman. His philosophy of discipleship, which is most akin to what we find here in the book of Acts, and which he would state often, was this: if you make disciples by sitting around and talking, don't be surprised if all your disciples do is sit around and talk. If you make disciples by sitting around and talking, don't be surprised if all your disciples do is sit around and talk. And so, yes, we would do Bible study, we would do prayer, we would even sing hymns together. But it wasn't in the comfort of a home. No, it was in a van on the way to the local prison. He would, like Jesus, split the group into pairs and send each pair into a prison block to preach. Now, let me tell you, I, as a young man who had never preached a sermon before in his life, that was baptism under fire. And furthermore, he wouldn't tell you when you were going to preach. He would just point at you before you got into the van and say, "Hey, Cameron," or whoever it was, "you're preaching tonight." And if you weren't already prepared, you had the van ride over to prepare. I don't know if there were any experiences in my life that I faced that were more intimidating than that. But, you know, looking back, there are also few things I'm more thankful for. Because it taught me that though Jesus had called me to learn, to fill my mind, it wasn't so that I could sit in a group of my peers and just exchange meaningful ideas. No, it was so I could go into the darkest places of the world and bring into those places and the people who are there the transforming power of the gospel. Now, the reason I say all of this is because here in Acts chapter 16, we see that Paul, he takes under his wing a young man by the name of Timothy, who joins Paul in the work of ministry. And so Timothy becomes his disciple in the following sense of the word, because he follows Paul into the spiritually darkest places in the world and joins in what he's doing. It's discipleship by hands-on training in meeting the spiritual and physical needs of people. And today we'll begin to see how all of that began to come about. It says in verse 1 of Acts chapter 16, "Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily." Now, this young man, Timothy, that joins Paul and Silas in their ministry, was actually the living fruit of Paul's ministry. Because remember that on Paul's first missionary journey into Asia Minor, Paul and Barnabas had visited the city of Lystra, where it says in verse 1 of chapter 14, that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. Well, Timothy was likely one of that multitude, and he was a young man who had already a very solid Jewish understanding of the scriptures, which he had received from his mother and his grandmother. And so when Paul and Silas return to Lystra, here on their second missionary journey, they find him. They're impressed by his dedication to Christ, his willingness to serve. And so Paul takes Timothy under his wing and begins to pour into his life. And Timothy would ultimately become Paul's constant companion, traveling with him throughout Asia, Macedonia, Greece. He was also in Rome for part or all of the apostles' two-year house arrest there. And Timothy is also named as one of the senders in the letters that Paul wrote to the Philippians, to the Colossians, Philemon, 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And we see that he's absolutely dedicated to the gospel and to the mission of reaching others because he allows himself, think about it, to be circumcised even as an adult because he doesn't want there to be any kind of obstacle between the Jews that he's seeking to minister to and their receiving the gospel. Because remember, they were concerned that the covenant of circumcision be kept. And so he's very dedicated. Now, not only that, but as we'll see later, he's one of the most selfless Christians in Scripture. Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians 2, 19 to 22, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served me in the gospel." And so we see modeled in Timothy's life the selflessness of Jesus Christ, which I think is the supreme mark of every true believer. Now at this point, I'd like to return to something I said last week. And that has to do with what we're talking about in regards to discipleship. Because I think there are many churches that know how to make converts. But there are very few churches that actually know how to make disciples, who know how to establish new converts firmly in their faith, who know how to teach them the Word of God, ground them in sound doctrine, and then send them out to in turn make disciples of their own. That's the supreme weakness of the church today. Making disciples who can make disciples. Well, what is a disciple? Well, Warren Wiersbe once said, "A disciple is one who has believed on Jesus Christ and expressed this faith by being baptized. He remains in the fellowship of the believers in order that he might be taught the truths of the faith, and then he's able to go out and win others and teach them." He says this was the pattern of the New Testament church. And in many respects, we have departed from that pattern. He says in most churches, the congregation pays the pastor to preach, to win the lost, and to build up the saved, while the church members function as cheerleaders, if they're enthusiastic, or as spectators. He says the converts are one, baptized, and given the right hand of fellowship, and then they join the other spectators. But he says how much faster our churches would grow, how much stronger and happier our church members would be if each and every one were discipling another believer. The only way a local church can be fruitful and multiply instead of becoming just a church that's growing by additions is with a systematic discipleship program. This is the responsibility, he says, of every believer, not just a small group that has been called to go. No, Jesus had opened the minds of his disciples to understand the scriptures. They knew that what he wanted was for them to make converts of their own. He says it's not enough to win people to the Savior. No, we must also teach them the Word of God. That's part of what it means to live out the Great Commission. And you know, he's absolutely right. That was the pattern that Jesus modeled to us. He chose a handful of guys and he poured everything he had into those few men. And then he showed them how to do ministry. He gave them his authority. And then at Pentecost, he gave them his Holy Spirit. And it was that handful of men who ended up changing the world. He trained disciples who could make disciples. Paul was himself discipled under the teachings of the other apostles. And then he takes a disciple of his own, Timothy, and he pours everything he has into him. And he trains Timothy until he's ready for service. And Paul's letters to Timothy contain much of that training. Paul tells Timothy how to confront false teachers, how to order the church's worship, how to select church leaders, how to conduct himself as a young leader in difficult situations. And speaking as a father to a son, Paul urges Timothy, stand up for your faith. Stand up for the truth in public. And also guard your own soul. Keep your soul from errors. The errors that are all around you trying to seep into you and into the church. And so when Timothy is ready for service, in a ceremony that serves really as the basis for modern day ordination, Paul and all the eldership, they lay hands on Timothy to set him apart for God's service. And we see that he becomes Paul's hand-picked choice to oversee the troubled church in Ephesus, somebody that he himself had discipled. And Paul calls Timothy by a very personal title in his greeting to Timothy. He says, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. You know, that's very close, very intimate language. You can hardly get more personal than a relationship between a father and a son, a parent and a child. That's one of the most close, intimate relationships there is. A child is dependent on you utterly and completely for sustenance. A child absorbs so much that you teach them. You bear them, and then you lead them to maturity until one day they leave your home and they go off and start families of their own. And the question I want to leave you with is, what children are you bearing for the kingdom of God? Who is the Timothy in your life? What young or new Christian are you pouring yourself into? Who are you carrying in prayer? To whom are you writing letters of discipleship and encouragement? If we want our nation to experience true freedom in Christ, then we have to start making disciples. It's in our obedience to make disciples that we can help bring our nation back into right relationship with God. And so let's commit to do that. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.